Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Give yourselves a great hand. It's great to see each and every one of you. I know we've got some guests here, and we're just so happy to finish out the year here together. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and just so happy that you're here. We'd also like to just give a special welcome to all those who are going to be listening to our message later on today or later this week. So let's give them a big hand clap and welcome them to Digital Church. We live in a different world than we used to, but we welcome them. All right, today we are going to wrap up the series that we've been going through the last 4 weeks entitled God With Us. Everybody say, God With Us. And so our key verse is found in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. This verse was quoting the prophet who foretold of the birth of Jesus. And this is what it says. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. And so my goal throughout this entire series has been to help you understand that no matter where you are in life, God is with you. And as you navigate through the different seasons of life and as you grow more mature in your Christian journey, one of the things that you're going to discover is that in the different seasons of life, you experience God in different ways. In week one, we talked about experiencing God in the valley seasons. And we learned that while we all enjoy God on the mountaintop, it's in the valley places, it's there that we get to know him more intimately. In week number two, we talked about how the wilderness seasons, how in the wilderness God will often speak to us in just a small whisper. And while we wish that he would, you know, yell out his plan and his will to us, you know, out loud and scream it out, he chooses to whisper because he's so close to each and every one of us. And it's in the wilderness season that our deepest need becomes a gift because it drives us to depend on God. And then last Sunday, we had an amazing, beautiful Christmas Eve service. We had so many, this place felt like it was just packed out. Man, I want to give a shout out to our amazing Dream Team, man. It was an amazing service. If you missed it, mark it down on your calendar for next year, the 23rd. It's going to be amazing. But we talked about what it means to really have God with us. But this morning, I want to kind of tie this. I want to wrap this series up by talking about God's presence in the storm. Anybody here ever go through some storms in your life? Right, I think we all could raise our hands because all of us go through storms. Now, my question here this morning is anybody here looking forward to turning the page in 2 days and a new year because there's some storms that you're ready to leave behind you? Come on, let me see your hands. We're a participation church. All right, yeah, some of you are looking forward to leaving some things that have bothered you behind. In the last couple of years, we've had several massive storms, big hurricanes hit our country. In 2017, there was Hurricane Harvey and Irma. In 2018, we had Hurricane Michael and Hurricane Florence. And I don't know about you, but I've often found it odd that they give storms the names of people. Have you ever wondered that? I'll never forget when I think it was my sophomore year of high school when Hurricane Andrew devastated Florida and the Keys and kind of the southern part, Homestead in the Miami area. But think about what it would be like if we gave other events in our lives people names. Imagine calling your boss tomorrow morning on your way into, you know, as you're about ready to be into work and say, you know what, sorry, I can't make it in today because of Headache Henry. I mean, this one's no joke. This is a Category 4 headache, right? Or sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it to work today because of Valerie vomits, you know. It just hit me strong today. I'm sorry, Valerie, if you're here today, please forgive me, all right? Now, it's interesting that hurricanes were not always given people names. They used to be named after geographic places and locations, but in 1954, U.S. meteorologists started naming storms after their wives or girlfriends. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, But I can tell you that's not a really good idea. I mean, just imagine for a moment that I'm a meteorologist. That's what I do all week. And I come home from work after a long, hard day, and the conversation ensues as I walk in the door. Shiloh says, "Hey, Andrew, how's your day?" "Fine." I mean, you had this conversation, right? You know, and she goes, "Fine, that's all, just fine. You never tell me anything." Come on, some of you have had this conversation. And so then I'm like, "Well, actually, there's a Category 5 storm coming, and there's going to be a ton of damage, and people will probably die. In fact, I decided to name it after you, Hurricane Shiloh. Aren't you happy now that we had this discussion?" I mean, what were they thinking? So for 25 years, all of the storms were named after females. And then in 1979, there was an equal rights movement for storms, and they started naming them after men as well. And so to this day, they switch off. One storm gets a man's name, and then the next one gets a woman's name, and it just goes back and forth through. And if a storm happens to be really bad, like Hurricane Andrew, the weather experts will retire that name, and they will never use that name again for a hurricane. And unfortunately, there are some of you here this morning that you're in a storm. And you've been in a difficult storm that you've probably been tempted to, or maybe you've already given it a name. You know, "I wish that I could get through storm cancer," or "I wish I could get through storm depression. I wish I could get through this financial storm. I wish I could get through this relational storm." But no matter the name of our storm, when we find ourselves in the middle of it, no matter what it is, no matter what the cause of it, we just want it to go away, right? So what do you do when you find yourself in the midst of the storm, when the seas and life is just raging all around you? Unfortunately, there are so many people, what they'll do is they'll blame God for the storm in their life, or they'll start asking questions like, "Where are you, God? God, why are you allowing this to happen to me?" And so I encourage you to pull out your sermon outline located in your service guide. There's a few fill in the blanks, and just jot some notes down today. Our key thought for today's message is this: never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. If you've got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 27, and we're going to spend most of our time here today. I just want to give you a little bit of background before we jump in the story. It was right about the time of the year, the story that we're going to read, it was right about the time of the year when the weather would change, the weather would turn, and it would become very dangerous to be on the waters. You know, it'd be very dangerous to take a boat out, but the officers, in spite of that fact, decided to move forward and continue on in their journey. And once they got away from the safety of shore, a massive, unrelenting storm comes up. And it got so bad that in an effort to stay afloat, the crew began to take the cargo that they were transporting, and they literally just started throwing it overboard. They believed that this storm was going to take them out, that this storm was going to be something that they would not survive. And that's where we're going to pick up the story, Acts 27, verse 20. It says this: "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging." And I wonder how many of you here in the room can relate. This storm that I'm going through, it just won't stop. It's out of control. I can't even remember the last time I looked up and saw the sun. And so the storm continued raging, and then they said, "We finally gave up all hope of being saved." And it's sad today because there are so many people today who have just given up all hope. You know, you'll even hear it as you talk to them. They'll say things like, "There is just no way that my marriage is going to make it through this. There's no way that we'll be able to climb out of this financial debt or hole that we're in. Or I can't beat cancer. Or I'm going to spend the rest of my life alone. I'm never going to be able to have children." No hope. And that's how these sailors felt this day as the storm raged on. Verse 21 says, and after they had gone a long time without food. Now that's a bad storm, right? It's bad enough to be in the storm, but now you can't eat as well. So they had gone a long time without food. Paul stood up before them and he said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have been spared. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. Now I don't know about you, but when I read through scripture, sometimes I just pause and I sort of read this verse and I kind of think, man, Paul, you're sort of being a jerk. You know, if you'd have just listened to me, right? Obviously, he didn't read John Maxwell's book, Becoming a Person of Influence, right? That how many of you, you know, people influence you when you just, if you'd have just listened to me. And as spiritual as Paul was, he was not above doing what so many of us love to do. In fact, you're in church this morning. I want you to be truthful. What do we love to tell people when we're right and they're wrong? I told you so, right? If you'd have just listened to my advice, you wouldn't be in this situation. You wouldn't be in the middle of this mess. And so the officers of this ship were in the storm because they had not heeded Paul's earlier warning, and it was their fault. I wonder if you've ever noticed that so many people love to blame the devil for everything that goes wrong in their lives. You know anybody like, oh, the devil this, and oh, the devil that, and man, he's doing this and that. It's the devil's fault. He just did all this stuff to me. But what I've learned in my life is that often the storm I'm in isn't the devil's fault. Rather, it's the fruit of my own decisions. Somebody say amen, because that's a good word right there. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because you decided to spend more money than you have. Sometimes you're in the middle of the storm because your emotions got the best of you and you said something that you shouldn't have said. Sometimes you're in the middle of the storm because you procrastinated and you put something off that you should have addressed months earlier. Listen, it's not the devil's fault you didn't pass your final exam. It's your fault for playing video games or staying up on social media half the night and just waited to the last minute to study, right? Sometimes we're in a storm because everybody else in your life told you, hey, it's a bad idea. Don't date that guy. Right, you know, your mama told you not to date him, and your daddy told you not to date him, and your best friend told you not to date him. You even went to the Chinese restaurant and opened a fortune cookie, and that said, don't date that guy sitting across from you. But you insisted, right? And you argued back, but he's got so much potential. Listen, he's got the potential to ruin your life, but you dated him anyways, right? And sometimes, so often in our lives, we find ourselves in the middle of the storm because of our own poor choices. And maybe, just maybe, that's why the officers in our story had given up hope. Because it was their decision that put them in the situation to begin with. And I don't know about you, but it's easier for me to believe that God will get me out of a storm when it was him that put me in it. Right, but it's a lot harder for me to believe that God will get me out of the storm when I was the one who got myself into the mess. Because I'll start thinking things like, well, this is all my fault. And if I wasn't so stupid, I don't even deserve to be rescued. I don't even deserve to be forgiven. I've cried out to God so many times over this, and I keep going back to the same thing. It's all my fault. I also want to point out, not everyone on this boat during this storm was at fault. There were probably some crew members who thought, you know what, Paul's right. We shouldn't go. The weather is too unpredictable. But because the captain and the officers had made the order, they ended up in the middle of the storm without a choice of their own. I think we can all relate to this type of storm in our lives. Maybe as a child, your parents divorced, and you ended up in the middle of a storm that wasn't your fault. Perhaps the executives at your last company made bad financial decisions that ultimately led to you being a casualty of downsizing. Maybe somebody who should have protected you, someone who should have loved you, someone who should have cared for you, sexually abused you and molested you. Listen, you're in a storm that really wasn't your fault. You trusted somebody. They gave you their word and you thought they would do what they said they would do, but then they didn't follow through. They didn't deliver. But I want you to know this morning, whether self-inflicted or something that you have no control over, when you're in the middle of the storm, it's so easy to lose and give up hope. Watch this going on in verse 22. Paul says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. Watch this. Because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. And I just want to pause here for a moment because somebody that walked into this room this morning needs to hear this. Don't give up in the storm. Keep your courage. Keep your faith. The storm is not going to take you down. Don't let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Watch this, verse 23. Paul continues speaking. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. You may not be aware of this morning, but what we see with our physical eyes is not all that there is. There's a spiritual world that goes beyond what we have the ability to see in the natural. And there is a spiritual battle happening going on right now all around us. In fact, right now, I believe that there are ministering angels of God, ministering spirits that God has sent into this building and into this room here to meet us today. And even when you may be in the middle of the storm, you have no idea all the different ways that God is with you. He could be with you just like the Apostle Paul in the form of a supernatural being, an angel. God is, the scripture tells us that he's omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere, that God goes before us. God is already in tomorrow. He's not bound by time and restricted like we are. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He sees the beginning from the end, and he hears your prayer, and he comforts you in your hurts, and he's directing you when you're lost and you don't know which direction to go. And so I want to encourage you this morning, you have no idea all the different ways that God is with you. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. He is with us. Amen. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:16, he says, everyone deserted me. Anybody ever been in a season like that where you feel like everyone deserted me? Verse 17, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Listen, just because you're in the middle of the storm doesn't mean that you are alone. God hasn't left you. He's still by your side. And if you'll continue to look to him, he'll give you the strength to make it through the other side. David wrote it this way in Psalms chapter 16, 8. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken. In other words, no matter what's going on in my life, I won't be shaken, for he is right beside me. You see, our view of the storm will change when we learn to realize who is walking beside us. When you realize that God is with you, it will change your attitude. It will change the way that you walk. It'll change the things that you say. It will change the way that you think. I remember I was in eighth grade, and there was a few week period where this boy by the name of Kurt began to bully me and torment me and just really make my life a living hell. And I know this may be hard for all of you to believe here, but I was never a very big guy. I don't think I've ever had a single intimidating bone in my body, but this boy, he'd look for me in the hall and if I wasn't paying attention, trying to avoid him, he'd grab my arm and twist it hard, bend it back behind my back violently, and he'd act as if he was going to punch me in the face, and he'd say things like, if I see you outside, I'm going to beat the living out of you. I can't say it in church. Some of you were like, oh, he's going to say that in church. No, I didn't say it, but you can fill in the blanks. And so as you can imagine, at all costs, I would go out of my way to avoid this kid who was threatening me, But one day, I'll never forget it, I was on my way to English class and I wasn't paying attention. I was fumbling with my books and I didn't see him coming, and he punched me right in the ribs. I wasn't even looking, and laughed loudly, and of course sharp pain just, you know, races through my body, and I just kept walking and I continued to my classroom. I sat down at my desk and a boy named Luke sat next to me all year, noticed that I was upset, and he asked me, he said, hey, Andrew, what's wrong? Now, Luke was the kind of boy that my parents said, Andrew, don't hang around that kind of boy. But he was one of the rougher guys at school. His hair was long. He always wore heavy metal band t-shirts and used foul language, never seemed to be paying attention in class. But for some reason that day, I opened up to him. I think it might be the first time I ever even talked to him, and I told him what was going on. And then he asked me this question. He said, "Andrew, who is it?" And so I told him the boy's name, and he simply said, "Don't worry about it anymore. I'm going to take care of it." And to this day, I'm not sure what happened. But later that day, Luke went out of his way to find me, and he told me, "You won't be having any more trouble, Andrew. In fact, if he ever even looks at you again, you just let me know." And so for the rest of the year, I promise you, when Kurt was coming down the hall and I was coming the other way, he would immediately look to the ground and he would never even make eye contact with me again. And all of a sudden, because of who was with me, because of who was on my side, the way that I walked began to change. I stood up a little bit taller. I acted a little stronger than I really was because I had someone who had my back. It changed my posture. It changed my demeanor. It changed my confidence. And I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. When you realize that God is on your side, you can walk through the toughest storm and through the greatest difficulties in life and say, "I've got somebody bigger than me that's got my back, and he's going to see me through every trial, every tribulation. God will see me through." In the New Testament, there's another story about the disciples being in a ship, in a boat. This time, Jesus was actually with them. He was asleep in the bottom of the ship, and the storm arose, and the disciples begin to do what you and I often do. They begin to freak out. "Oh my gosh, this isn't fair. We're going to die. Jesus, where are you? Why don't you care? Aren't you going to do anything? You're sleeping, Jesus, in the middle of my storm. God, what's your problem?" And so eventually it gets so bad that they wake him up, and Jesus rebukes them. And he says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith?" And then he simply says to the wind and waves, "Peace be still." And instantly the storm stops. They were able to experience peace because Jesus was on the boat with them. He was beside them. I want you to know this morning, real peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Real peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Real peace isn't found in a trouble-free life, because there is no such thing as a trouble-free life. Following Jesus doesn't mean that bad days and bad things aren't going to happen to you or aren't going to happen in your life. In fact, Jesus told us in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble." That's not very encouraging. Gosh, Jesus, couldn't you give me something better to listen to? No, in this world, you will have trouble. And it's a promise from Jesus. But then he goes on and he says, "But take heart, for I have overcome this world." In other words, no matter what the world is going to throw at you, Andrew, I've already overcome it. I've already walked through it, and I am with you. Real peace is not found in the absence of trouble. It is found in the presence of Jesus Christ. He is with me. He is right beside me. And he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. Amen. Back to our story, verse 24, the angel continues on talking to Paul. And he says, "Do not be afraid. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." In other words, the angel was saying, "Paul, you're not going to go down when this ship goes down, because God has more battles for you to fight." And somebody this morning needs to hear this, because I believe that this is a prophetic word over your life. You can't go down in the current storm that you're in, because God has more for you to accomplish. Amen. He's not finished with you yet. If you're not dead, then he's not done, and you're not done in your journey. God has people for you to love. He's got opportunities for you to pursue. He's got plans for you. You're not going down in the storm that you're in. The ship might go down. All hell might break loose around you, but God is going to see you through. This storm will not take you out. So then, God, why? 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 Why the storm? Why do I have to face these trials? Why do I have to walk through these things? I've learned in my life this: God will use what you learn in the storm to help others walk through theirs. I love this. It makes it so much easier when we understand that there is a purpose in the storm. If we'll allow God to work in us, a storm season will never, ever be wasted. He'll use it to do something inside of you. And through the storm, he'll speak to you. And through the storm, he'll strengthen you and he'll mold you. He's going to shape you. He's going to refine you. He's going to take off some of your rough edges in the storm. And you can rest assured that God will use the things that you learn in the storm to help somebody else through theirs. And one day you'll be sitting back and a conversation will arise at work or maybe in your life group. And you'll be saying, you know what? I've been through that. I've survived infidelity in my marriage, and because of that, I know that you can survive it too. We overcame financial difficulties. We worked hard and climbed out of debt, and now we told our money where to go, and we've got financial peace in our lives, and you can have the same thing too. I used to be in bondage. I used to be addicted to this or to that, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, he set me free, and I'll walk with you, and he'll set you free too as well. You can't always see it when you're in the midst of it. But I promise you, on the other side of the storm, you're going to look back and you're going to see all that God has done in your life. The storm is terrible. And I know that no one would ever choose it. But on the other side, I promise that you will see the intimacy with God that you've gained and the character that you've developed. You'll see your faith grow because of God's faithfulness in the storm. Going on, verse 25 says this: "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." I want you to hear me this morning. Our faith isn't in what we see. Our faith is in what God says, and what he says will come to pass. My faith isn't in a boat. My faith isn't in a job. My faith isn't in a home. My faith is in the one who commands the winds and the waves, the one who spoke and created this world by the words that he said. I have faith that God will see me through and that he will be my deliverance and my provider. Here's the bottom line. No one can control when a storm blows up, how severe it is, or how long it will last. But you can control what you believe, and you can control where you put your faith. So I challenge you to put your faith in the one who created the wind and the waves. God, I've seen you move mountains in my life. And even though I may be in the middle of a mess, Lord Jesus, I know that you've never, ever failed. The psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. In other words, world, you can give us your best shot. Give us the best that you had, because God is my refuge. He is my shelter. He is my strength, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, there are those here today who you find yourself in a place where your sin has been left undealt with. Your sin maybe even has caught up with you. You're actually in the storm because of some decisions that you made. And so many people mistakenly think that they need to be good in order to let God accept them. You know, like they need to try to get things cleaned up and get things fixed first. But listen, I want you to hear me this morning. We can never be good enough on our own for God. And that's why he robed himself in flesh. That's why he came. That's why Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus came. He came to be our Savior. He came to pay the sin debt that you and I deserve to pay. And so there's no better time than right now to come to Jesus, to repent of your sins, to follow him. All we have to do is call on his name, and he will save, he will forgive, and he will begin the process of transformation in our lives. When you call him, he's going to hear your prayer. It's the good news, because he'll forgive every sin and he'll make you brand new. This morning, you can leave with a fresh slate. And so if you're here today and you're ready to say, you know what, yes, I want the presence of Jesus. I want his grace in my life. I need his forgiveness. Today, Lord, I'm ready to commit my life to you. Today, I'm ready to turn from my sins. And so with no one looking around, if that's your prayer, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hands? Is there anybody who would say yes today? Listen, this is the best decision that you could ever make. Thank you. I see your hands. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you that you came to earth and that you are always with us. And so, Lord God, for those individuals that raised their hand and said yes to you, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would wash us and cleanse us. Lord, today we make the choice. Today we turn towards you. Today, Lord Jesus, we give our lives to you. And so, Lord God, would you take our brokenness and our mess and wash us clean, Lord. Thank you for new life. Lord, today I know with so many people sitting in this room this morning, there are some that the storm is raging all about them right now. And Lord, you sent them to walk into this church today to get a word of encouragement and a word of hope. And so, Lord God, I pray that we would leave here with our faith strengthened, that we would leave here with courage, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that knowing even when life gets difficult, it's there in those places you are with us. And so, Lord God, teach us what we need to learn through the storm. Mold us and shape us. Lord, we give our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.